Hi, I'm Jeremy Fewless. It's good to have you with me for this podcast. This is part one of a two-part series on what I've called the six silent killers of student success, or the six silent killers of student success. These are six bad boys that may be stopping you from getting the grades that you want to be getting. I know, it sounds dramatic, and actually it is. But here's the thing. Once you've identified these silent killers and the ways that they're stopping you from achieving your best, then you can take action, deal with them, and watch your stress decrease and your grades improve. In this podcast, we're going to look at the sneaky way these six silent killers combine to drag you down into what I've called the demotivation whirlpool, and then look at the first three of the silent killers in a little more detail. But first, I'd like to begin with three statements about success in study that may shock you and which go against the assumptions that many teachers and educators have believed for a long, long time. The first is that most students are not achieving anything like the results that they could and should be achieving. The second shocking statement is that in the majority of cases, the reason for these students' lack of success has nothing to do with a lack of brain power. The third shocking statement is that traditional study tips might be helpful, but unfortunately, they don't solve the underlying problems, which are causing this lack of success in students. So, what does all this mean for you? Well, in simple terms, it means three things. Firstly, it means that it's very likely that you could and should be getting much better grades than you currently are. Secondly, it means that the reason why you're not getting these grades probably has little or nothing to do with your IQ or your intelligence or your brain power, whatever you'd like to call it. Number three, it means that you need more than just study tips to help you get motivated and to radically improve your grades. So, the $6 million question is really, what stops students from succeeding? If it's not a lack of brain power, then why aren't students getting better grades? Enter the six silent killers of student success. These are the six factors that are sabotaging students and stopping them from doing their best. Understanding these six factors is the first step to overcoming them. So let's look at how these silent killers work together. Welcome to the demotivation whirlpool. Before I identify these silent killers individually, let's have a look at how they work together to rob you of the success that you should be enjoying. To begin, let's talk bathtubs. If you've ever played in the bath and watched the water swirl down the drain, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You see, these bath time whirlpools are like tiny versions of the larger whirlpools that you'll find in rivers and even in the ocean. They can be enormously powerful, spinning funnels of water, able to suck swimmers or even boats down into the depths. In the same way, the six silent killers combine together in a vicious cycle to drag students' motivation and confidence down, dragging their grades down too. Being caught by these silent killers is a little bit like being caught in a powerful whirlpool. They begin to drag you down, the cycle gets stronger and stronger, until you find yourself struggling to escape. Don't panic though, there is hope and there is a solution. So, what exactly are the silent killers of student success? Silent killer number one is incorrect assumptions. And this is often where the cycle or the whirlpool begins, because our assumptions, our deeply held beliefs, form the basis of our thinking and then our behavior. There are two assumptions or beliefs which many students and teachers have that are totally incorrect, and these can start the motivation whirlpool. The first incorrect assumption is this, that brains equals success. Now, for many years, educators have considered that IQ, or intelligence quotient, is a reliable predictor of potential success in students. In other words, theoretically, a high IQ should mean high grades. However, it just doesn't work that way in practice. There are plenty of smart people in the world who aren't succeeding, and plenty of dummies who are achieving great success. You can probably think of people in your own school or class who are smart, but just aren't getting great grades. So it's simply not true that brains equals success. And the second incorrect assumption comes from the first. Here's how the argument goes. Assumption number one is you have to be smart to be a good student. So you think, gee, I'm not that smart. So therefore, assumption number two is I can't be a good student. And if you believe that you can't be a good student, then what's the point in even trying? These wrong assumptions kill your motivation before you even begin. Silent killer number two is the memory of past failures. Many students believe that if they've failed in the past, they'll fail in the future. If they've been a poor student in the past, they'll be a poor student in the future. And of course, often our past failures and disappointments continue to haunt us. Once again, this kind of thinking destroys motivation. Unfortunately, sometimes even parents can encourage this type of thinking. After we've blown it or got disappointing results, they make well-meaning comments like, "Ah, I guess school just isn't your thing." And although it sounds kind, the underlying message this communicates is, you haven't done well in the past, so there's no point trying now. Of course, failing at anything is painful, and the memory of past disappointments can make us unwilling to risk failure again. Let's face it, we all want to avoid pain, so some of us simply stop trying and we get dragged further down into the demotivation whirlpool. And that can lead us to silent killer number three, low expectations. Now, some people say, don't expect too much, then you won't be disappointed. However, I think the reality is more like, if you don't expect too much, you'll always be disappointed. Like past failures, low expectations of yourself can just rip the guts out of your motivation and set you up for failure. These expectations may come from ourselves, but often they come from other people, even our parents and teachers. Sometimes these expectations are based on measures like IQ tests, which, as we've already discovered, aren't reliable predictors of success in study or in life. Now, you may have heard comments like, "Well, I guess you're doing as well as can be expected," or, "I wasn't a good student when I was at school and you take after me, so..." Comments like these reflect low expectations, and they encourage you to aim low. Once again, this can be a defense mechanism to help avoid disappointment and hurt, but in the end, low expectations steal away your potential for success. Let me ask you, is this ringing any bells? Maybe you've already recognized one or more of these patterns at work in your own life or in the lives of your family or friends. And of course, these principles don't just apply to students. The silent killers can rob us of success in all areas of our lives. Here's an important piece of advice at this point. Don't panic. Sure, these factors may be powerful, but they can be beaten. There are some simple steps that you can take to knock these bad boys on the head. And as a result, your motivation, your confidence, and your grades can improve radically. In part two, we'll meet the last three silent killers who could be robbing you of success. As I said, though, there are simple, practical, and powerful steps you can take to deal with these silent killers and get back on the path to success in your studies and in your life. Stay tuned for more on these podcasts.